Ladies and gentlemen, buckle up for the set. It's the From Above Nothing podcast.
With your hosts.
Salsa.
James.
And Jenna.
Yay.
Rubber gorilla.
Yeah.
Rubber female gorilla.
Yeah.
With banana.
Damn those boobies.
I believe the shipping order said rubber female gorilla.
Yeah.
It may have.
Rubber female orangutan.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Large female. 5-inch large female orangutan.
There we go.
Right. If you experience a female orangutan
that lasts more than 5 inches, hours.
You're already dead. That's,
yeah, that's oof. Yeah.
What are we drinking?
We are drinking Maid Marian. Blackberry hard cider from Two Towns Cider
like
Heist.
Okay.
Heist? Cider Heist? Oh boy, it begins.
Oh, that's tasty. I accidentally got air in while I was making the slurpy noise.
So I'm gonna ask this question.
Yeah.
Knowing the answer is fringe, but what you guys been up to?
Renaissance Festival shit.
You know, construction projects.
Packing.
Work.
So, still how's your fringe?
It's been fucking great.
Yeah, mister. How many sold-out shows is that? Real close on the second one, right?
Real close on the second one, yeah.
Oh, I thought it was fully.
Our third show. I think
the first
we were
one
down
was
like,
sold out.
Yeah, the first one was sold out.
Oh, no, Next has had three shows.
Yes, correct.
You're getting beat up by kids.
Correct.
I mean, they're really talented. They were trained by Angela Fox.
It's a musical.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's going to be about superheroes, kind of.
Kind of.
Anyway. Yeah.
So, that's...
But tell us about your show.
First show was sold right the fuck out. Like, 15 minutes early sold out.
Yeah.
Which was stupendous. The second show was very nearly sold out. I think I saw maybe 5 seats
now,
open.
For reference, what is the capacity of the theater
you're in? No idea.
Okay.
It looks like 80 to 100.
Okay. About the size of the BLB?
Yeah. Okay. I think so. But the crowds have been really responsive too, which I appreciate. They're very willing to laugh. Which is kind of necessary.
That's the point.
Yeah.
It's a comedy. It's a dark, dark,
dark fucking
comedy.
Yeah. Yep. So there was that. And then the third show is on Thursday and is still, because of the time, still a risk of selling out.
Yeah.
And being in the Northeast District didn't stop them.
Yeah, I know. Like,
either. Yeah.
That's impressive. Yeah. It's just West Bank and Northeast districts this time around.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which I think is smart. Like, having fewer districts to go to is really smart. But usually the Northeast has a harder time. So, congratulations on not having a harder time with that. You would have sold out those last 5 seats if it had been on the West Bank.
Yeah, if it was like right underfoot, probably. But my feelings are not hurt.
I think when we're talking about 5 seats, you sold out.
I mean,
you're a sellout. What?
I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, they're naming the fair after him.
Right.
So the the
Inside
shows that I saw were also
jokes.
Yeah. Inside baseball will get you inside teams.
No. But don't play baseball inside.
Think. The Metrodome is the reason for a now completely worthless rule added to the Major
Wait,
League
what? Really?
Baseball. Yeah. Did you?
Wait, no, I don't know about this. Tell me.
The Metrodome roof rule. Because it was one of the few indoor stadiums with a roof that could easily be hit by a home run. So hitting the roof of the Metrodome has and it doesn't even exist anymore. The Metrodome is not an existing building anymore.
Right.
But
so if you can hit the roof, you're
really
hitting
it
hard.
Yeah, that's right. But you might want to ease up on that bat a little.
Oh my God, would you explain the fucking rule?
Yeah, it's...
what happens if you hit it?
If I remember correctly, considered a fucking home run.
Now, how hard was that?
Yeah. Well, because it's...
Love you.
I love
big
you.
Hearts.
Yeah. But yeah, no, we are the reason that that rule was created.
And now it's superfluous.
And yeah, now
much like... Oh.
Why are we on this topic?
Oh, inside baseball.
Inside baseball.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I saw a lot of really good shows.
Yeah?
For Fringe.
For Fringe.
For Fringe.
I haven't been able to do as much fringing as I've wanted to. Mm-hmm. Some of that is I wasn't feeling particularly good on Saturday, so the little bit I would have been able to mm-hmm. sneak in, I just didn't. And then, like, I've been doing campground stuff for a festival.
Sure.
Because I'm the assistant campground director. I do that, and I'm like, I'm important. I'm not at all. No. I do data entry. I'm a glorified secretary. I'm all right with that.
Assistant to the manager?
Basically. So, yeah, but I haven't been able to see as much as I've wanted to. And I was going to go out and do some yesterday, and then I got caught up. So, yesterday, okay, so my show. I'm totally taking over for a second.
Yeah.
Because, so I'm doing Fringe Orphans, and I'm doing clowning bits. So Fringe Orphans, for those that don't know about this great institution of a show, is basically a vignette show of little snippets of not fully fleshed out Fringe ideas, like things that, you know, things that probably wouldn't last for more than 5 to 10 minutes as a show. But it's just, you know, a cute, cool concept. Mm-hmm. So yeah, like that's what it is. And so what I have done for every Fringe Orphans, is, a flow through bit, interstitials that happen in between the other vignettes so that there's, you know, like a feel of cohesiveness to what's going on. So this year I'm doing clowning with Bryn Berryhill.
Oh, we've heard of her.
Yeah. Previous guest, and by previous I mean last week. So, fucking, if you forgot, you then you're bad at things. I don't know, but
who?
Oh, Jesus, fuck!
But, go back to Facebook, honey.
Okay,
okay. But so Bryn and I are doing clowning, and it's the overall piece is called Backstage Ballyhoo. Ballyhoo. Salsa helped. And,
who?
That's fair, actually.
Name dropper. Even... <That's>...
What? Shit. But it's clowning pieces with a stagehand trying to get the attention of a stage manager is basically the setup. So, like, all these little interstitially set up bits and clowning happens with them. It's, yeah. So... Yesterday was our third show, and it was a Monday at 5:30, which, number one, can be a little tricky for people to get to straight from work. Number two, like, you know, it's halfway through the Fringe, and, like, things are a little weird.
Right.
So, yeah, my scene partner showed up, and for one of the scenes, she's supposed to have a ukulele.
Right.
And obviously she doesn't leave it at the theater because you don't leave valuable items at the theater. and she did not have it with her.
You don't leave it at the theater. You leave it at home instead.
Apparently. So she went to her car to check and see if she had it in there and did not. So then she went to the corner store. She was like, well, guess I'm not playing a ukulele. What can we do instead? Juggling. I can juggle. Thank God I can juggle. So she goes to the corner store to get, like, apples, right? Easy enough. No apples.
Oh, shit. Oranges?
No oranges.
What?
They had bananas, and she went, no. but they also had garlic. Like, that's bulbs of garlic. And she went, yes.
Yes.
So she picks up this garlic. And, like, she comes back and she's like, so, And she couldn't get back in the back way because right. there was nobody there to let her in. She didn't ask anybody to and thought that Tom was going to be there. Sure. So anyway, there was confusion of that. So she goes in the front of the house. She's like, hey, sorry, need to get in. And the house manager let her in. Like, you know, he's good. A nice guy.
Good.
Don't ever tell him I said that, but he's a nice guy. And so she gets in and she's like, well, I'm going to juggle garlic. And I'm like, cool.
Yeah.
I'm digging this.
Very old world.
Yeah. Yeah. So we have all of that set. So then the performer for the opening bit.
Right.
Was not downstairs. And we're like, this is concerning. And I talked to Brian and he was like, well, I got a message saying she was here. She couldn't get in.
Shit.
And did not take it upon herself to do a Bryn and go through the front. But because Bryn had gone through the front of the house, the house manager had told Brian that he let somebody in through the front of the house. And since Bryn had already been inside, he didn't know. So he thought it was the other person, right?
Yeah.
Comedy of errors. So, yeah. Yeah. So, 3 minutes before show opens, we figure out what's gone awry, and she's in, and she's, like, furiously changing into her costume. And the opening bit, she does a piece about, like, basically a robot takeover in an amazing costume that is full of lights, and, like, she does this makeup job, and, like, there's all of this stuff, and it's great. But it takes slightly longer than 3 minutes to get into this costume. Yeah, so we're downstairs and we hear the opening announcement for welcome to the Minnesota Fringe, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And she's like near tears because she was like, another 30 seconds. I need another 30 seconds and I don't have it. And I was like, Brian, do you want Brennan and I to open instead? And Bryn was like, yes. And I'm like, cool. So I do a mad dash to get to my spot. Bryn's like, I don't have shoes on. Like,
please tell me before your mad dash, you both struck a pose and went, this is my moment.
No.
And then ran.
No, no.
No, you missed opportunity.
No, no. It was definitely.
Whenever you jump off of something, you have to land like a superhero.
Yes. I did actually do that.
Oh. But,
yes.
I guess I'm just waving hi then.
Yep.
Okay.
So I do a mad dash upstairs to get into my spot. Britton's trying to throw shoes on, like and like I just assumed that I would be, you know, covering until Bryn could get up there, but she just fucking went for it, man.
Yeah.
So yeah, we did the first scene, and you know, Brian had shouted, he's like, "Feel free to stretch." I'm like, "Cool, because we can do that." Because it's clowning and half improv anyway. So it's improv with a structure, which I'm okay with.
Hmm.
So yeah, like...
Mikeville.
So she and I just start doing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I realize I don't know how long we need to go.
Nope.
So I'm just going to go for a while.
Sure.
And make sure to cover as much as I can. Like if it starts to just feel like it's dragging, I'll end the bit.
Yeah. But
that's, otherwise, I'm just going to go. Especially since the show as a whole is only 50 minutes. So if we go over like a few minutes, we're not going over.
Oh, yeah.
So, so yeah, I just kept going, and Bryn and I came up with some new bits for the opening while we were doing that. So that was cool. The opening scene has different lighting, and of course the tech isn't going to change anything. That's not the tech's job. No. So the opening scene has like kind of dimmer lights. Because of the costuming that this person wears.
Right.
Help make that stand out. So I turned my bit into being upset that the lights were too low. And, like, making gestures at the tech booth, which Andy, our tech, enjoyed immensely. and, like, and all this other... So we came up with some great bits. And then, like, finally, I'm like, you know, I'm starting to feel like maybe we should wrap up. And meanwhile, Brian had realized that we didn't know when we needed to wrap up. So he knew his next act was ready, and he was like, okay, and just walked onto stage as like a stagehand type person, got my attention and carted me off the stage.
Nice.
And it was beautiful.
Awesome.
It was really good. It was really good.
People who can think on the fly. Woo!
Yeah. So we did that, and then our next bit was back to normal.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Like everything was fine, but you know, we've still got that adrenaline from the which is why we do live theater. And then we get to what is usually the ukulele scene, but is now a juggling scene.
Right.
And during this scene, pardon me, I'm pushing a box across the stage. A very heavy box.
Mm-hmm.
Salsi, you're not going to get to see it, are you?
Probably not, no.
Yeah. Dear listeners, beep this one out for yourselves. But the box is labeled Actors Issues. Right? Yeah.
Very full.
It's so full.
Yeah.
So, like, and it's, in actuality, it's an empty box.
Of course, yeah.
But, you know, I'm struggling and trying to push this box across, like, dragging it across the floor, pushing it across the floor, whatever I can do to get it to move. And Bryn's trying to get my attention by, like, doing, usually
things.
It's uke,
Bryn
but,
things, yeah.
But, yeah, like, this time she thought she'd try to juggle to get my attention. When she does the uke, she sits on the edge of the box, which finally gets my attention, but in a not pleased way.
Mm-hmm.
So she did the same thing with the juggling and goes to sit on the box and then sat through the box, which, again, not planned,
no,
but still clowning comedy, so have at, right? So, yeah, like, everything was just wackadoodle, not the way things go, whatever, but it all turned out really well. So, yay. That was
awesome.
My show yesterday.
That pleases me so much.
And then afterwards, Bryn and I were like, we're just going to go drink for a while, right? Yeah. Yeah, we're going to go drink.
Yeah,
it'll be fine.
Seems reasonable.
So. Mm-hmm.
I'm glad that I got to see the show run as normal, and just that I got to see the show, but also that I got to see the show run
mm-hmm.
kind of the intended way, because that makes this, like, that much fucking better.
This story, it's like, oh my god, what happened? Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Level baseline.
Nope. It was a ridiculous time, and
awesome.
Like, afterwards, we're just like, we're drained. Mm. We're gonna...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, otherwise, I mean, French Orphans is always a mixed bag.
Mm-hmm.
So the reviews are always a mixed bag. And it's pretty much running just like a regular French Orphans,
right,
which, you know, 3.5 stars, that's normally about what we get. And we're not changing anybody's lives with what we're doing. So, yeah,
it's
you know, 3.5 to 4 is fine. But Bryn and I, RP specifically, has gotten called out a few times for,
nice,
for with positive or favorable words.
Awesome.
So that's nice.
Makes sense.
I think the worst one we got was, it took me a while to warm up to it.
Huh.
Which isn't even, like, bad, because in a way, like, we purposefully leave the audience in the dark, so you're not going to warm up to it. So, cool. That's fine. Whatever. Done. So, yeah. That's been good. We haven't sold out any shows, though, so, you know. We're not gonna. It's Fringe Orphans. We're not out to change lives. We're
people aren't looking for it specifically.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. It's just it's a piece to add variety to the Fringe.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. Yeah.
I mean, however you want to justify your failures, up to you.
So I'll say, get the fuck out of your house. Raiderly will back me on this one, I'm sure. No, come back and push the buttons. Come back and push the buttons. Raiderly doesn't want to push the buttons. That's
no,
why
that's
we
true.
Have a salsa.
Yeah,
no, she pushes my buttons all the time. What are you talking about?
Yeah, that's different. awkward.
Well, I'm
so,
going to decline to comment on all of that. All right.
Yeah, I'm going to just sidestep this marital thing. And, yeah.
Hooray!
So what's your favorite Fringe show so far, James?
So far? I've seen some really fucking great shows.
Aside from Fringe Orphans,
Blood Nocturne.
Oh my god.
Is powerful and
it's
captivating and fucking gorgeous.
Blood Nocturne is about more commonly known as Elizabeth Bathory.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
The, yep. mm-hmm. The bathing in virgin yep. blood mm-hmm. countess.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Who is actually a character I've thought about portraying at Renfest. I would be real good at that.
I'm now a little nervous because you are incredibly right.
Yeah.
That's terrifying.
Yeah.
Back up.
But it was one of what I would consider, you know, the more artistic type pieces. There was mm-hmm. music, there was singing, there was a lot of movement based stuff. The music is amazing. But what I appreciated about it was, for story-wise,
mm-hmm.
that it was much more about the patriarchy. Oh, don't even think that you're going to get to that sword before I could slice you open. I don't even need to blink.
No, he's just hungry.
Mm-hmm. You left the curvy blade next to me, too.
Like, I know, right?
You know that's your specialty.
And then it's just me broadcasting, something bad has happened! Something real bad has happened!
Something bad... Well, that's okay.
If anybody's listening, I need help.
Have you ever swallowed a sword all the way to your stomach?
Yes.
You're about to. Okay.
Oh, well, yes.
The quick way, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, the way to a man's heart is... through the rib cage.
Yeah, that's between the fourth and the fifth ribs, yeah. I know this. So anyway, but no, what I did, the narrative behind it was much more about the patriarchy and the reaction to a woman in power.
Crush the patriarchy.
Yeah.
Yes?
Working on it. Salsa.
Well, it was like... Without getting too deeply into it.
God, why are you getting so defensive, Salsa? God, fucking white men. I'll tell you what. I'm going to gaslight the shit out of you. why are you being so defensive? God. I would never do anything to harm you. Now he doesn't know. Jax is probably better.
Talked to Salsa yesterday? Yeah, he was just like really paranoid. Freaked out for no reason.
No reason whatsoever.
No reason. Yeah.
Oh, God.
He's being kind of a bitch.
Yeah.
Frankly.
But. I loved it for that, just that narrative behind it. Because they did actually take factual things and the thread them through in there. And yeah, it was real good, and I highly recommend it. I don't want to spoil it, but.
No, I don't either.
It's good.
But there were. Obviously, there's the music, which was kind of old world Renaissance-y style mm-hmm. instrument selections, but it's beautiful, and they have kind of a visual poetry to the show as well.
Yeah,
they do. Done with pretty simple props, but very effectively, very beautifully. Yeah, it's. It's just so good. All of the shows that I've seen so far have been really good.
Yeah.
But I think that's pretty definitely my favorite so far.
Yeah. Mm. Awesome.
So, what about yours?
I was actually going to say the same thing.
Oh, well.
So, you know.
Well, all right.
Aside from that, I think my second favorite, or favorite in a different way, would be family-friendly Pulp Fiction.
Oh, yeah. It was really good.
That was so good. You guys, go see it. I'm making my gentleman friend see it tomorrow. I'm like, I know you're not doing a lot of French stuff this year, but you are going to see this because you are a Tarantino fan and you are going to love the message behind this. And you are going to giggle every 5 seconds.
How much do you need to know about Tarantino to get
Pulp Fiction?
Do you have to have a pretty, seen it within a year? Or?
I feel like you can be... No, I haven't seen it in a couple of years. Well, I think I did actually see it. No, that was Reservoir Dogs. Shit, I don't remember which one it was.
It's been at least 10 years
but,
for me.
Yeah,
but I get
no.
It.
You would... Yeah. Okay. You would... I mean, you don't have to see Tarantino to see the show.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You are going to get a lot less out of it.
Fair.
If you haven't seen the show, but there's still a lot of bits that are just great and delightful for everybody throughout. I feel like the more knowledge you have of it, like, and probably the more recently you've seen it, the more you're going to get out of it.
Okay, that is exactly my
feeling.
But it is
not a prerequisite.
Cool.
If you're able to find the time to rewatch Pulp Fiction beforehand, I recommend it.
Yeah.
If not, you're fine.
Cool.
So, but yeah, it is so delightful. I don't want to spoil any of it, but
yeah.
Family-friendly Pulp Fiction, it's basically they are trying to make Pulp Fiction family-friendly, and it is ridiculous how many words they replace and how.
Oh, my God.
I know, right? Scenes that they end up cutting or changing drastically.
Oh, yeah.
Just all of this, and yeah, like, it's so delightful. And there's even like a message behind it, which is weird. Mm-hmm. I was like, wait, Tim wrote this? What the fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Like you got to the end and you were like,
Oh,
well, shit. Fucking, when did that happen? I feel like he's grown as a writer. Don't tell him I said that. But
sideways?
You know, a little bit, but yeah. Still up. Kind of. You know, like a 25-degree angle.
Our little Tim is growing
you know.
Up.
Aww.
Yeah.
Like a little sprout.
Very similar.
Sure.
They're like a little diabetic sprout.
Mm. So anyway, I do highly recommend family-friendly Pulp Fiction. It is delightful. It's got a stellar cast.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Also with Bryn Berryhill.
Also with Bryn Berryhill.
Another show with Bryn Berryhill. She is part of the stellar cast.
Yes. And Don Krasnowski playing Mia
yes.
is everything that you mm-hmm. it should be.
Yep.
She is probably the straightest character, not like gay-wise, but like, you know, just straight man character type thing in that. And she does it so well.
Mm.
Oh, my God.
Mm.
And yeah.
I've
just the whole thing is great.
There was part of her performance that surprised me, and I don't want to ruin it for anybody. So I'll talk more about it, I think, another time.
Next week, perhaps, when yeah. you can't spoil it for anybody.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
I'm
curious about this now. We'll talk during break.
Yeah. But Duck Washington double featuring
oh,
as...
Oh, my God, yes.
And like multiple featuring, but also double featuring as Jules and Marcellus Wallace was quite good.
It was delightful.
There's a hand puppet in the show.
Yes.
Just like.
Oh my God.
It was a fucking blast.
Is it fun?
No.
Not? Okay.
No.
Not a butt.
Yeah.
Well, so
anyway,
because yeah. the pounded and the tingled. Book,
yeah, no, it is not that okay. puppet.
No,
that would have been delightful.
That one has gotten a lot more use.
That's gotten a lot of mileage. Oh yeah,
expected.
It's a great puppet.
It really is.
It's a delightful puppet. Butt puppet.
Matt Kesson in that show and a few other shows, including, but especially not limited to Reverend Matt's.
Yeah, how to survive a dinosaur attack.
It's so
oh
good.
My God, I was dying of laughter. I seriously, Kesson's How to Survive a Dinosaur Attack is probably my favorite of all of his shows. I like, and I've seen everything. Like, it's delightful to me because, like, I met him through Encyclopedia Show and I got
sure.
to watch him just develop this kind of thing out of that. And, his Monster Science is fucking stellar. And it just keeps getting better every single time. And I'm like, how do you keep growing? And how do you make this better? But somehow he did. It's incredible.
Yeah, no, he has so found good. His thing and has just filled it
completely. And the thing is that like some people find their thing and they're cool with that. I mean, I'm sitting right here, but that's fine. And then, you know, they're just like, this is my thing. This is my style. Yep. This is what I do. But he just keeps honing what it is that he does. Mm-hmm. And it's like I was dying. I squeaked a couple times and then I actually stopped breathing for a minute. Like, you know how like I can breathe through my squeaking?
Yeah.
I could not breathe for like a good 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Just it was almost alarming.
I was laughing
alarming.
So hard I had a fucking headache.
God.
A massive headache
yeah.
afterward.
Yeah.
From hyperventilating.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
That's
and
awesome.
Seriously, he just keeps getting better and better. He yeah. does not stop working on it and
Fuck.
Honing his skills. It's incredible.
Cool.
Yeah. Well, and I had friends who I think have maybe only seen one of his shows aside from this, something like that.
Oh, okay.
And they were there afterward. They were talking about the show, and one of them said, my face hurts. My face hurts from laughing too hard.
Yeah.
Like, just constantly. Because the thing is, it's he's a tour de force. Like, mm-hmm. he's a fucking force of nature. He,
yeah.
It never lets up.
Yeah,
it's
it does
perfectly
not.
Perfectly paced.
It's, oh my God, so beautifully paced.
Yeah.
And his reactions to the audience sometimes. Too. I love that. I love that I know him well enough to tell when he's just like, it's still a straight face, but there's something about that straight face that I'm like, he is like right now just completely overwhelmed and delighted and like in his element and enjoying all of
inside
this.
Inside his head, he's
but
doing the happy dance.
Basically, but you can't see it on the outside,
yep.
but I can still like, it's just a slight... barely noticeable like smile and a relaxing of the face and a slight eye crinkle type thing, whatever, but I don't even know what it is. I was just like oh he's just fucking riding this right now. Like yeah he got one. There was one review he got. This is how good Cousin is. There was a review that he got where somebody said that, and I think it was a bad review where they were like, he must have had plants in the audience for how much everybody laughed. And I'm just like, you don't understand how theater works, right? Like, if it's not funny, it doesn't matter how many plants you have. It's not going to be funny.
Yeah.
Like,
they will be the only ones laughing.
Yeah. So it was like, I think it was a bad review, but I couldn't quite tell if it was bad, but I loved it. 'Cause I was like, it was so unbelievable to this person that there could be so much laughter in a PowerPoint presentation show. Like, they could not wrap their brains around the fact that this was a possibility in our universe. Like, and I'm just like, that delights me.
That's the whole point
of
Fringe.
I know.
When you said PowerPoint presentation, I just imagined the little gesture that he makes with the little,
the little
slide prompter.
Thing. Yeah.
Like the... with the just casual disregard that he has for the
It's like, yeah, this is a thing that also happens, whatever. Like, yeah. Oh, my God. I just, yeah. And his opening night, like, he's... And Kessin is one of my favorite people. He is so... humble isn't quite the right word. He doesn't understand his worth.
Fairly stoic about it.
That's not where I'm going with it, though.
Oh, okay.
He only expected for his opening show about, like, 20 people to show up.
Yeah.
He had, like, 70.
Yeah.
And they were all dying of laughter. And he was just like, I can't believe this happened. I'm like, you do not understand how funny you are. Like, it's not a humble thing, but it's in that realm of just disbelief of his own value kind of a thing, right?
Angela Fox was kind of suffering from the same thing.
Oh, I don't know how, because she's sold out all three of her shows so far. God, Fearless is having a really good run. Honey, if anybody, I jinxed myself on that one. Like, you don't have to worry. What? I just told you about our show.
Yeah.
And I feel like of all of the shows, Fringe Orphans is probably the... least exciting, I guess, like the least press, the least whatever. But I'm okay with that because it's an institution show. It's not like a, again, we're not trying to break, you know, rebuild worlds or anything with it.
Right.
And yeah, to have an institution show be the weakest point on your Fringe docket of Fearless and Fearless affiliated is pretty good. It's pretty good.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I feel like your show is, I mean, it's definitely comprised of moments. Not all of them are laugh out loud funny.
Yeah.
Some of them definitely are.
Oh, God.
Fucking, some of them definitely aren't. Yeah. But some of them are just poignant or...
yeah.
Like Tom's.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to go into what they're doing so that people can see it and see it fresh. Yeah. But their work. But they were worried that their presentation wasn't good. Like...
Right.
And because they're a performer, well, like the rest of us.
Well, and it's their first time doing a storytelling
piece. Shit. I had no idea.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
They're all like super insecure. I'm like, you're doing fine, honey.
Yeah.
Like, you're great. You're doing this the smart way, because my first storytelling thing was a fringe show that was just me storytelling.
Yeah.
I'm like, you're doing this the smart way where you only got to fill a few minutes and you're, you know, acclimating yourself up to it.
Yeah.
Like, this is, you're
just enough to get the ball.
Yeah.
But no, I...
But no, they're doing great with it. Yeah, the fact that you didn't know it was their first time.
Yeah.
Fuck.
And they were really worried about it, especially after the show. But their presentation was both touching and also very human. Like, very good. A very life experience thing that was... I appreciated the fuck out of it. I don't know. Yeah. So all of the things, whether they're laugh-out-loud funny or whether just...
The presentation was kind of like just hanging out with a buddy at the bar telling you a story.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And that was the presentation.
That's
perfect, and I
yeah.
appreciated it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So that was good. Let's see.
The first one, I'm trying to remember the name of the presenter.
The actual the gay dating?
No, oh my God. That one was fucking laugh out loud funny.
Jesus Christ.
Holy shit.
Heidi with the the robot.
Yes.
And the light up dress.
That costume, and this might be super weird, but that costume reminds me of Tom Servo.
No,
from
I get that.
Mystery Science Theater. Yeah.
No, I can see that.
But yeah. It's also
going back to the earlier story, that's why it took her so long to get ready.
Right. But it's that's a fantastic piece also. That one is a mixture of laughter and also like intense human pain.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I think my personal I actually love them all for different reasons. I don't think there's any one bit that I'm like, ugh, you suck. Which means it's probably mine, but whatever.
No.
It can't be, because Brynn's adorable. And she just evokes the audience pity so well.
So it's just you, then?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm fine with that.
No, you were both really, really adorable.
I play a pretty good straight clown. I'm not going to lie. And that is not easy to do.
Yeah.
No.
No.
Yeah. I'm just like... Yeah.
Like, even going about your business, you were still very funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was the straight clown, which means I can't be ridiculous, but I still need to be ridiculous.
Yep.
Right. Yeah. No.
I'm off. Yeah.
And that's the thing. Like, that kind of clowning actually comes more naturally to me, which is weird, but all right. Whatever. I'm willing to be your straight clown, baby. I was going to say a thing.
I will be your straight clown.
Huckleberry.
Whoa. there is a performer in Fringe Orphans, Kirsten Stevens, who I recommend, if you ever have the opportunity to see her do mime or movement-based work, fucking do it.
Was that Something's Missing?
Yep.
Shit.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Number one, the piece itself is great. But here's the thing. She is, like, super trained.
Yeah.
Like, she studied in France with fucking what's-his-nuts. Basically the grandson of the grandfather of mime.
Yeah.
As
Marcel Marceau?
It was somebody that studied under Marcel Marceau, is my understanding. Like, within that family
lineage.
Tree. Yeah. So, yeah, like, she is probably one of the most studied mimes in the world right now.
Mm.
And Nobody in that audience understood exactly how much awesome miming they were getting with that piece. Nobody knew. And that was the other thing, too. Like, in the reviews, people are like, wow, that dance piece was really good. And she's like, yeah. People just don't understand movement. But, you know, it's like, I mean, they were complimentary because it was amazing. Because she has studied longer than I've been alive, I think, to be that fucking good at it.
Well, and again, it was a mixture of, like, extremely impressive physicality, but also, like, really human experience stuff.
She was, she said this is one of the more, oh God, what's the word I'm looking for? It starts with a P. Stupid brain injury. But one of the more, not provocative, poignant, I think. One of the more, basically, might not have been poignant, but, you know, the one of the more deep feels artistic pieces that she's done.
Poignant.
It is, poignant is something I usually don't use to describe myself and my work. And
fair
I
enough.
Think she used a different word, but I can't, but it's basically the same thing. It's, she went a little bit more artistic with this one, like more outside of the literal box, the invisible.
And there is that part.
Literal box. What?
Where it's very visible. Yeah. No, fuck.
But yeah, like she walks through basically the feelings behind if something is missing.
Yeah.
Right? If you're missing something. And it is like, and she's like, I think this is the most that I've put into a piece like this that is much more figurative. There's another word for it. Whatever. But the more the representational, there's a word and it's driving me insane that I can't find it. I'll give up. But yeah, it shows. It's real good.
Yeah.
It's real fucking good.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. And then we also have unicorn sex, so whatever. And that's what I love about Fringe Orphans is that you just get fucking a little bit of everything.
That fucking part of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yes. No. When that piece started, it was about 30 seconds into it that I got the larger joke.
Yeah.
Of that piece. And it just, the entire thing is so fucking funny.
Yeah. If you've ever wanted to see Duck Washington as a unicorn.
It's good.
Come to Fringe
Orphans. Real good.
Because you do want to see.
Yeah, you do. That's
Actually my first introduction, like the solid introduction to Duck was either the first or second Fringe Orphans, where he did a Death of a Stormtrooper, which was Death of a Salesman, but as a Stormtrooper family. Like, just, you know, a consolidated thing. But I was like, he had the Stormtrooper costume, right?
Uh-huh.
And I was like, can you do the electric slide in that? And like, he just started dancing for me in the Stormtrooper costume. I barely know this guy. I'm like, you have just made my entire Fringe. You have no idea.
Oh, wow.
It was the best thing ever, ever to happen in my life.
Yeah.
Just as a close second, but you know.
You actually became suddenly pregnant when you saw that.
Yeah,
that's
what
happened. And
yeah.
Gave birth to a fully formed adult. Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's
what happens when you see Duck Washington do the electric slide in Stormtrooper armor.
Obviously. What did you think was going to happen?
I don't know.
Hey, Salsa, what have you been up to?
How my wife got pregnant?
Well,
it's likely.
Okay.
Your children are very talented.
Duck must be a very busy man.
I assume so.
Doing the electric slide in Stormtrooper armor, impregnating
all
women
time.
All over the world.
All over.
Not just women.
He's like a weird seminal Santa.
I can't.
Going around the world every night.
Everything is different for me now.
From dancing.
Not just women.
Seminal Santa is not my new Led Zeppelin cover band.
Also, the
it
office
might be
secret
like
Santa
that.
Is very different.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh.
Well, okay,
the
then.
The thing is, I'm not able to
do Fringe.
And I haven't been really since my kids were born.
I was about to say, yeah, like after they both get over about 5 or 6, then you'll be able to start back out there. Hanging out more. Yeah.
But the thing that I love about the Fringe is hearing other people talk about the cool shit that they saw. Every year, it's the same. It's people having a conversation and just hearing people talk about the really awesome shit that they saw.
Yeah.
And the thing that I love about the Twin Cities and the people that I know is you look at the Fringe and you look at all the creativity and all the just amazing art that people are creating and realizing that they do it every year.
Yeah.
Something new. Yeah. And then you throw in things like Die Laughing and Give to the Max and just all the other theater that happens around the Twin Cities all Fearless Lab. Year round.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The sheer volume of amazing creative endeavors happening in this city is fucking staggering.
Can I actually bogart this moment
absolutely
to bring up a thing?
Sure.
There is a Kickstarter happening right now. Speaking of creative endeavors in the Twin Cities,
absolutely,
there is a Kickstarter for an all black Shakespeare show. And we should post.
Much Ado, I think.
Midsommar.
Midsommar.
Oh wow. Yep.
Yeah. It is. I think it's Black Players Ensemble. If I'm remembering the name of the company correctly, they are doing a Kickstarter to raise the funds to be able to produce this and to produce it well. As an aside, one of the things I love about Fearless is that Fearless has contributed to this Kickstarter. We went, that's a thing that we want to support.
I was very pleased to see that,
it's, I think to me, it is a thing that we need to have happen.
Yeah.
Like, just, number one, the idea of black players being able to direct themselves, push themselves, promote themselves, and not be like, I'm a black actor in this show with all these other white dudes, or, you know, directed by this white dude, or, you know, like all of these other things. Like, it is very important to me to not just include minorities, but to give them space and lift them up to do their own things. So this to me is just super important. They have gotten, they're within, I think, 2000, like
they're at 84.
84?
They're at 84 right now.
So they only need about 1600 more in the next 6 days, 5 days, six somewhere days. In there. And wow, honestly, that's incredible, because today, at the beginning of the day today, I've been watching this like a fucking hawk. They were at 64.
Oh, wow.
So today they raised $2,000.
That's fucking great.
This Kickstarter, we'll post a link.
Yep.
I'll kick salsa.
It is the Black Ensemble Players.
Oh.
Is what it is.
Okay.
A black ass production of A Midsummer Night's Dream.
Yes. And they, one of their posts has the cast list, and it's pretty fucking amazing too.
Yeah,
you may know a few of them. we'll post a link to that, but go support that, because as much theater as we do have in the Twin Cities, some of it is just important as fuck all, and this is one of them. Like, this is a thing that needs to happen. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for letting me bogart your happy feels moment.
It's quite all right. It elevated it, to be blunt, because that is the kind of thing I'm talking about.
Exactly,
It's not just during Fringe, and it's not just during Die Laughing. It's 24/7 around here is somebody gets an idea, and instead of going, Well, that'd be that would be a thing that somebody should do that. Mm-hmm. There is so much of that going around the Twin Cities where somebody goes, "I have this idea, who's in?" And 1,000 hands shoot up.
Yeah.
Like, I fucking love that.
That has been one of the things that I fucking love about our theater community, but Fringe and Die Laughing especially. I am working with two friends in our newly formed, very stupidly named production company. Create things to present with Fearless and at Fringe and possibly Horror Fest and things like that. Because we have similar interests.
There's another thing, Horror Festival.
But we got to write something for Die Laughing. And it started out as a thing where I was just joking back and forth with one of my friends, and he was like, let's do this. And I was like, yes. Which, I have to say, 5 years ago, I fucking probably wouldn't have. But Fearless and the local theater scene has really kind of infected me with the Salsa Sterling, I can't do that yet.
He stole that from someone.
Probably.
Was it Lori?
No.
Or did Lori steal it from you?
Lori got it from me.
Oh.
Fuck, that sounds like something smart she'd do, though.
Yeah.
You'd think.
You stole it from somewhere, though, right?
On a scale of one to salsa, Lori is it?
It was my first year as Casimir.
Yeah.
Sure.
And I was writing my end of festival, like, thoughts. And this popped into my head. That all of this stuff that I was doing, you know, was stupid. And that,
on a scale of one to salsa.
And that I had never done any of that before.
Yeah.
Cool.
That's fucking awesome.
So.
Yeah.
It still staggers me when people... Because apparently, like, Bryn... not Barry Hill, but...
Kelly.
Yes.
Okay.
Like, she's apparently been using that around Huge.
Yeah.
Nice.
And because she was like, "That was from you?" And I was like, "Yeah." And she was like, "Because I got that from Matt." And Matt at Die Laughing said, he got that from me.
Okay. I think it's a different person, but I still...
Oh, no, not Bryn Kelly. Bree, sorry.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Sorry.
Like...
Too many B people.
Agreed. Like
that Seinfeld movie?
It's weird. Like, it was seriously just this end of the year thing that got legs somehow.
Yeah.
Well, and James, you were talking about, you know, just the stupid ideas being tossed around and being made into an actuality. And that is how Die Laughing became. Like, it was... Well, I had the idea of a 50-hour comedy marathon when Bill and I were on our honeymoon. And he was like, "Good luck finding people stupid enough to do that with you."
Your honeymoon was a 50-hour comedy
marathon. It really was. It was amazing. But then when Phyllis was talking about wanting to do a fundraiser, somebody was like, "We should do a 12-hour comedy marathon." And I went, "Nope, 50, bitches." Go big or go home. Yep. And everybody just kind of had that moment of, all right, so how are we going to do this? Like, it wasn't even a question, really. There was trepidation, as there should have been. But there wasn't, nobody actually said no. It was just, okay, so how do we make this happen? And that's the kind of thing in the local theaters. I fucking love that shit.
At Fringe, I saw a play called Vertograph. Recently, which is a lot like, is a weird Twilight Zone kind of show. Like, it really very much reminds me of classic Rod Serling Twilight Zone. It's a fucking bizarre play, but I think it's really clever, and I think that it's really enjoyable.
Okay.
And I can't help but think that if a producer were looking at this, they would go, it's not safe. It's not,
yeah.
You know, there's no way that we could ever do this, that kind of thing. And it's, I was extraordinarily pleased to see it.
Awesome.
So yeah, that's Fringe. Fucking awesome. I'm looking forward to the stuff I'm going to see the rest of the
week. There is one thing that I need to highlight because I don't even know if Salsa knows that this is a thing. And I think he's going to be delighted in it. But on Thursday, James and I are going to see Hamlet.
Cool.
But
Hamlet is played by a chicken.
Not a guy in a chicken suit.
An actual motherfucking chicken.
One of three. That chicken has understudies.
We'll be right
Hamlet,
back.
Hamlet, but Hamlet is a chicken.
We'll be back.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
Hey, everybody. You should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for Apropos of Nothing.
It's a Cadbury cream egg.
And we're back. I am Salsa.
It will not hatch. I'm James.
Wait, are we really back?
Yeah.
Are you? And I'm Jenna.
Oh, good. All right.
Oh, wow.
All right, we've been caught flat-footed. Roll for initiative with disadvantage. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
So.
I don't know what's going on anymore.
I never did.
I know. We know.
So, you know what would help us keep up to speed with things?
Is if I told you what I was up to?
I mean, that. But, you know what we should all be up to?
Drinking?
Yes, but do you know what we should be drinking?
Booze!
Milk?
And what do we put booze and milk into?
Oh, wow, that is actually a good... Well done with that, sir. aside from my body...
Coffee?
Are we there? We're not there. Are we there?
I mean, we can be. Salsa, it's our show. We make it up.
But I thought Salsa was going to talk about himself first.
We could talk about coffee instead. Go ahead.
Well, just for a moment.
Do it.
Just to see how it feels.
Do it.
Moment's gone.
My body is ready. Do it.
Yeah.
Whoa.
And your body is ready because you put coffee into it. I put coffee into mine yesterday. So I feel ready. And do you know where I got that coffee?
Yep.
The best possible place to get coffee.
I know.
If you've been listening to the show before.
Which I have.
No.
Then you know that the best possible place to get coffee is... TrueStone Coffee.
Uh-huh.
What?
Yep. And you can go to TrueStoneCoffee.com.
TrueStoneCoffee.com.
TrueStoneCoffee.com. And when you pick out coffee or let them pick coffee for you.
Not if, but when.
When.
Truly. When you get coffeed and swagged up at their delightful website.
Which was...
TrueStoneCoffee.com.
.com!
Okay. You can use the promo code...
Apropos.
Right. But it's apropos colored.
That's unfair.
Or scented? Scented. It's apropos
Salsa
scented.
Salsa is colorblind. How
it's okay,
you know?
I can see apropos.
Oh, okay.
or nothing.
It's not on the red-green scale, so
yeah. Oh, okay.
See apropos.
Yeah.
Oh.
So if you enter the smell apropos into the coupon code at checkout, you can save 10% off of the entire
the whole thing
fucking set of purchases.
All of it?
Yeah.
What if I get a T-shirt?
Yes.
What if I get a fancy tulip glass, which is amazing?
Yes. Also those.
What if I get just coffee?
Especially those.
Especially that. Okay.
I think you're asking the wrong question.
Huh.
It's not what if. I think it's when I do.
Oh.
Yes.
No, that's fair.
When I do.
Because I'm going to.
Yeah. I'm actually going to go buy a bunch more of those to stock my bar.
Well, yeah. No, I got to stock up.
Also, I need another one of those t-shirts. One is not enough.
Oh, my God. Those t-shirts are so comfy.
Mm-hmm.
So, that and the coffee that you procure will all be 10% off when you use the coupon code
apropos.
Right, but it's apropos.
You're apropos.
Flavored.
I don't
know. You will save 10% off, and then they will deliver it directly to your door.
Directly?
Directly. If you experience a direction lasting four or more coffees...
Oh, God.
Please consult truestonecoffee.com.
.com.
Good. All right. So, Salsa, what the fuck have you been up to?
That has got to be the most esoteric commercial we've done.
Which is impressive, because we've done some pretty esoteric fucking shit here.
Oh, it's only going to get weirder, folks.
You're going to get weirder.
Doesn't get any better.
Yep.
Yeah.
Also,
right.
Yep.
Okay.
Pie.
I love pie.
I went to the Bram Pie Day Festival.
Is that anything like the Bram Stoker Festival?
Not even close.
Okay.
I don't know what's going on anymore in my life.
In Bram, Minnesota, they have an annual pie festival. Bram is the homemade pie capital of the state, country? I don't think that was
Midwest.
Actually clear.
Yeah, it's just the homemade pie capital.
But they have a big pie festival, and it's a big festival with pie. There's pie baking competitions, okay. And you can buy pie, and you can have pie eating competitions.
immediately following the pie baking competition.
And then they have an auction where you can buy the pies that were in the baking competition. So what they do is you submit your pies in the baking competition. It's $5 per entry. And then the judges take just a little tiny, like 1-inch slice out of the pie, and the rest of it goes to the auction.
That's fucking awesome.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, yes.
I'm down.
Before you go to the auction, do you just watch the judges try that little sliver and you're like, I wasn't interested in that one before, but their clothes exploded off of their bodies.
Pretty much everything is delicious, so it's not that difficult.
Can't go wrong. Yeah.
You just bid on something, you'll be happy. And then they just have like slices of pie.
Yeah.
And the thing is you go and get your pie, and it's for $5.
What?
You get a slice of pie with ice cream on top and a lemonade or coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Or, if you want to break that down, it's $3 for the slice of pie, $1 for the ice cream, and $1 for the coffee or lemonade.
Oh, the other deal sounded a lot better.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Stick
with the first thing.
But Jenna over here.
Oh, right. Yeah.
What?
So, yeah, we showed up and we had... Like, you walk up to the pie area, and they've got across the top, they have apple and blueberry and rhubarb and peach. And then under each of those subcategories, they have, like, apple strawberry.
Oh, shit.
Caramel apple.
Fuck.
Apple crumble. Fuck. Apple rhubarb. Apple rhubarb raspberry. Apple, and then under blueberry, they have like blueberry.
What you're saying
raspberry,
is that I had a prime opportunity to cheat on my diet. Like,
a lot.
One reasonable excuse to cheat on my diet. And it's this.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
So, like,
my daughter had a rhubarb and my son had blueberry, rhubarb, strawberry.
Rhubarb?
And I had
blueberry.
And then my wife had the caramel apple and I had the blueberry, raspberry, rhubarb, strawberry.
Fuck, my mouth is watering.
Yeah, I'm...
And then you have pie and this, and then you go, and then they have, like, a classic car show.
Oh, fucking awesome.
Like you do.
Yeah.
As one does, yeah.
Exactly, and then they've got the food truck row, and then they have the like, arts in the park area, where you go and buy quilting stuff and wooden spoons and
cars
stuff
and
like that.
Art.
Just the whole thing was pretty fucking great.
Can I come next year?
Yes.
Okay.
And then just as we were leaving, they had a little kids area where the kids could make like spinners and stuff like that. You know the spinners where you have the disc and then like the string, the loop of string that comes through and then you like pull on it and it spins?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like they would decorate. They basically had little discs and then the kids would come up with crayons and markers and decorate it and then glue it and put glitter all over it and then they would string through it for the kids. But in the little kids area, just as we were getting ready to leave, fucking Spider-Man showed up.
Oh, what?
And my kids were...
They lost their collective shit?
They, in the most calm manner possible, because their brains were so broken that they couldn't react. They were just standing there staring at fucking Spider-Man.
Well, yeah, Spider-Man.
And so we were like, we're going to go get a picture. And my son couldn't stop staring at him. And we're like, look at the camera, say cheese. And he would like... glance at the camera and then look back. Just mouth open. Yeah. Like,
it's a grown-up PJ mask.
It was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. We had such a good time. And it's, you know, an hour drive.
Oh. Okay. That's not bad.
Yeah, it's hour 15 north of the Twin Cities. And we showed up and they have shuttles running to various parking areas, you know, near the outskirts of town. So you park and you hop on the free shuttle and you go into the town and you get there and you have your pie and your food and you walk through the vendor area and buy shit.
Yeah.
And then you have some more pie and then they had like an entertainment area with a Pileluya choir.
Yes.
And
this is delightful.
And all of the songs they sang were pie parodies.
Oh my god!
So like you know,
was there an album?
I probably not.
Pie a pella.
But
acapella.
But you know how like you know how like for the Renaissance Festival talent show, Tim Wick used to pick a musical and then like parody it for Fest.
Yeah.
That's kind of what we had going on here. It's just they had a bunch of like classic folk tunes, but pie.
Yes. So you mean classic folk tunes.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And it was just this fun atmosphere. We would have stayed longer, but it started to rain. And it was just a good time. And my daughter won a pie server.
Nice.
Yeah, like you know, you walk through the art in the park area, and they had a few booths that had like the spinner wheels.
She got a serving of popcorn, and there was a ticket in it.
Oh God!
It was peanuts, by the way. A couple booths had the spinners and kind of free spin, and my kids were going crazy, and she runs past this one, and I was like, "Hey, do you want to try this one?" She was like, "Oh, okay." And she spins it and wins the fucking grand prize, which is this pie server. And
Asher's going to get a fucking complex.
She... Oh, no. Asher already had plenty of stuff, too. Walked away with some swag.
Yeah.
Nice.
They each walked away. From one booth, they won Velcro armbands that go on your arm for when you're cycling that are the high visibility.
Oh, neat.
Oh, okay.
Armbands. Which is perfect because Lilibeth has a bicycle in there.
Yeah. I was going to say, that's great.
So they got those armbands. They got like some suckers. You know, they were doing, they had their little spinners that they made themselves.
Yeah.
And then Lilibeth gets this pie server, which she proceeded to not let go of the whole way home.
Like, she was so proud of that thing. Oh, yeah. That'll definitely be out at Pi Day, I'm sure.
Nice.
That we have in our house. But yeah, it was a good time. You know, it wasn't like over the top, you know, nonstop action. Sure. It was just this fun, like, afternoon with the family and a lot of pie.
Nice.
It was pretty great.
That sounds delightful. And so very your family.
Oh, yeah. And then,
yeah, we didn't know they liked
the very next day. We sugared it up again.
Oh yeah,
because we went to the Minnesota Soda Festival.
Oh
yes, I've heard about this.
Held by Blue Sun Soda Shop.
What?
Yep, the first annual Minnesota Soda Festival. Our friend Mark, who owns Blue Sun Soda Shop, put this thing together, and it was. That was amazing.
God damn it.
That was just absolutely amazing. I don't know if you've been to the shop at all.
Oh, I've been many times. Okay. In fact, I have a whole bunch of bottles. I need to get back to them.
The parking lot was just basically packed.
Nice.
What they did is they lined the back and the side with little pop-up, the little gazebo things.
Oh, sure.
Uh-huh.
And under each one was a different soda maker.
Ooh.
From around the country.
Oh my god.
Like, they had soda makers from Texas. They had soda makers from the coasts. And just all of these, you know, craft soda makers basically show up. And what you would do is you would get a bunch of tickets. And each ticket was a quarter.
Oh.
All right.
And you would go to these little kiosks, you know, little gazebos. Mm-hmm. And you would walk up and they had... Each one had an array of from 2 to 6 of their wares.
Yeah.
And you would give them a ticket, and you would get a little shot glass of soda.
Okay.
And so you could just go down the row trying everything.
Nice.
And wow.
Yeah.
Some amazing stuff. The one that... was a standout for me and for a lot of other people, it sounds like, based on what I was hearing afterwards, is the mini donut cream soda.
Oh,
that sounds amazing.
It was.
That sounds like everything I never knew I wanted.
It was.
I need that in my mouth.
It was.
I had a date like that once.
I mean,
that one was getting a lot of play. but yeah, it was, they had all of the fruits, you know, and then they had the cream sodas and the root beers, and then they had some of these.
Yes,
some of these
and bananas, ones. Jenna.
And bananas.
yeah, no, it was, and my kids were trying all of the different, just, you know, like we'd get our little shot glass and then my kids would each try a sip and then I would try a sip and then they would, you know, share the little shot glass back and forth and they were finding out which ones they liked.
Your family is so adorable.
I know, right?
And
pretty gross.
I was alone on this one because Raiderly had.
Oh, okay.
She was getting ready for festival stuff at this point.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
So she had a rehearsal. So it was just me with the kids, and just having the kids walking around. She's trying the different sodas. Mm-hmm. Lilibeth, we came away with a cotton candy soda.
Oh,
which my daughter loves.
Oh my god. I knew your daughter had taste.
There was one that was called Rainbow Drizzle, which was kind of this
experience
fruit
a Rainbow Drizzle
blend,
lasting four.
And that one was super good.
So gay dating at the fridge.
And I got to show them all of the weird ones, you know.
Sorry, I killed James.
No, it's okay. I'm moving past it.
That's fair. You should.
I got to show my kids the pickle soda and the grass soda and the peanut butter and jelly sandwich soda. They were like, "Oh my god!"
that's fair.
Yeah, no, it was just a really and then the candy section.
Oh yeah.
And then they fired up the bottler line.
Oh yeah.
Because for those that don't know, Blue Sun Soda Shop bought Whistler Soda.
Hmm.
And so now they're not only are they selling what 1,300 different kinds of sodas or something like that, but they're making their own. Yeah. And they bottle it just in the back room. And so they fired up the bottling machines, and they were bottling soda while we could, so we could watch as a demonstration, you know.
Nice.
I gotta tell you, when I'm done with my diet...
You're gonna ruin it all with soda.
Wreck shop.
It was so much fun.
I'm gonna spoil it all. I'm gonna gain those 50 pounds back, pretty much.
Have you really lost 50 pounds?
No, I'm down 35.
Oh,
it's still pretty good.
Yeah.
Nice.
Once I reach 190 or 200, I guess that'll be 60 or 70 pounds.
Oh,
but Jesus, yeah, I'm gonna try to get that all back in a day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I walked away with a German cherry soda.
Ooh.
And what Mark said about that was the European sodas focus more on flavor,
right?
Whereas American sodas are all about sugar.
Well, yeah.
And so, like this German cherry soda, it had like a tart,
sure,
cherry, just robust tart cherry.
To okay.
It, instead of being sweet, and it, amazing, and. Mm-hmm. I finally got to try Iron Brew.
Oh my god, I love it so much.
What is Iron Brew?
Iron Brew is in America, you've got Coke and you've got Pepsi.
Right.
Basically, like, it, generic soda in America is Coke.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Right. In Scotland, generic soda is Iron Brew.
Also, okay. Water is Iron Brew. Also, yeah. Iron Brew is Iron Brew.
Like, if you go sure. and get a fish and chips and a soda, you get an Iron Brew.
Okay.
And it's this, it's spelled I-R-N-B-R-U.
Mm-hmm. Iron Brew.
And it's this
Iron Brew.
Orange soda.
Yes.
Huh.
And it's amazing.
It's fucking good.
It's really, really tasty. What else did I walk? I walked away
they
with.
Sold.
Oh!
Oh.
Yes.
Hold that thought.
Oh.
Shit.
Jenna.
Oh.
What did I do now? I'm holding on to my orangutan.
Yeah. For safety.
Safety.
Safety orangutan.
Yay.
So, Iron Brew had plaid cans.
Okay.
As a promotional thing that in Scotland you could get your family tartan on.
What the shit?
Iron Brew cans. I want Armstrong Iron Brew cans so badly.
I believe it.
So badly.
Salsa is back with a bottle.
I happen to know
oh my garb.
That okay. Jenna has a soft spot for birch beers.
Oh my god!
Oh my god.
Hold on. Okay. I have not tried this.
Okay.
I do not know
okay. I'm gonna grab
if
glasses.
It's any good.
Oh god.
But this is a spruce beer.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't know. Legitimately have no idea what this is going to do.
All
if
right.
this is going to be awful or good, or if you'll like it or hate it. But I knew you liked birch beers, and so it's
engineering
like spruce
work.
Beer. Well,
I mean, I like the kind of mintiness of mm-hmm. birch beer, so now I'm curious as fuck all.
Yeah.
James, are you going to try some of this?
I'm going to try a little dab at a glass, yeah.
Yeah, I've got a little bit splash for you.
All right, yeah. I'm swirling yeah. it right
Whoa,
now like it's
this
wine.
Is, oh,
look
wow,
at the
wow, that smells like
weirdly
Christmas.
Clear. Oh, wow.
That smells
that
like,
might be sad for me then because yeah. I don't like Pine Sol.
Okay, and if, but, if yeah. it's awful, then it's awful. But I also have a birch beer upstairs.
I am so intrigued.
That's not as... It's almost got like a lemony aftertaste to it,
it's like a
which is kind
mintiness.
Of fine.
Yeah, based
not,
on...
I'm not really getting mint out of it. I'm getting the more some of the Pine Sol stuff.
Hmm.
Mostly, it's the nose. Honestly,
yeah. The nose is
the
hard.
Nose
but like
is
the flavor is
the
really
flavor is
toned down. It's a very soft, warm, fuzzy flavor.
It is very
It's. Oh, okay. I can see what you're saying about mint, but I think it's overdone by the there is some pininess in there.
That's crazy awesome.
Yeah.
Like
it
I said,
like
I had,
spruce.
I had
yeah.
no idea.
That's totally fine.
I also have a birch beer upstairs if you really want to have some of that.
I'll just finish my Dr. Tiki.
Okay.
Dr.
And then I will
good,
walk out with your
birch beer.
Mine.
Dr. Tiki.
But I like I said, I just wanted to... I've
yeah.
never
nope.
heard of it.
That's
I was like,
yeah,
crazy.
No, thank you for sharing that with me.
I'm going to get a bunch of that for Christmas.
That would be a really good Christmas drink.
Yeah. I'm still not going to drink it, but, you know.
A little of that with Southern Comfort would be a family Christmas.
I get it. Because it's...
No, I got it. I got it.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Okay.
Yeah.
But that was a great time, too.
Yes.
My kids had a fantastic time there. Good. They had bouncy castles and things like that for the kids to play on.
Yeah.
They
had bouncy castles.
And so... that was, and some food trucks there as well, and just seeing a lot of people we knew.
Nice.
You know, Jeff, our friend of ours, is the manager there. His wife Erin was there working. Mark was running around like a chicken with his head cut off.
I believe it.
Like, he was super busy, but like, that place was packed.
Yeah.
That's the thing that I really came away from this was, it wasn't just we're going to try to put this thing together and nobody's going to come.
Yeah.
That was not a problem. Because this place, it was raining.
Mm.
Oh, wow.
And even in the rain, people were there and having a great time.
Sure.
Awesome. Good.
We had to park 3 lots down.
Oh.
God damn.
Wow.
Yeah. No, it was really, really busy, and it was a really, really good time. I enjoyed myself immensely, and I got to just experiment with a few different sodas. You know, try... instead of going in there and buying a bottle of each one, you know, just being able to drop 25 cents and say, let me try this one.
That's fucking awesome.
That's super cool. You know,
like the mini donut cream soda, which was so good. Oh my god, you don't understand.
Well, and you realize, like, part of this is research for Mark too. I need to start stocking?
Of course.
Fuck yeah, it's brilliant.
Oh no, Mark knows what he's about.
He got people to pay for his taste testing, and
that seems like a Mark thing.
That's Mark. Just happened.
There we go.
Yeah.
I'm fine with this.
God, he is such a business genius. Anyway.
No, it was... And you know, got to see the wall of Pez.
Were there any... this is a fucking weird-ass question, but I love Pez.
Have you not been?
No, I've never.
What the shit?
You need to fucking go, dude.
No, like, the last time that I was like, I should go to Blue Sun, I was also like, I'm on a diet where I can't... have a ton of sugar.
That makes sense.
But yeah,
once this diet is done, though,
we're gonna AON outing.
Yes. Well, I'm down with it.
So, what kind of weird Pez flavors were there? Were there any really?
I don't know. I don't know about flavors.
Or was it mostly dispensers?
It's mostly dispensers. Okay. Yeah. Although they do have like giant packs of different flavors.
The weirdest Pez I've had was pineapple flavored, and it was delicious.
It's possible they had weird flavors, but I was not looking at it.
Oh, okay.
That's not the focus.
Yeah. I mean, I understand.
I was with my kids, so when they saw the Jake and the Neverland Pirates Pez dispenser, it just brain exploded.
Oh.
And so they're going through, and they're like, oh my god, it's Jake, and oh, here's Mickey Mouse over here, and oh, you know, this one and that one, and then I go, hey, Lilibeth, and I point to one, and she goes, Wonder Woman.
Aww.
It was so tender, and like, just she could have died and gone to heaven in that moment, and it was so just so amazing. And
you realize your daughter is why I'm perimenopausal, right? Like, I just keep dropping heads all over the place.
I think I'm perimenopausal.
And they had my favorite candy from childhood.
Oh, Perry Mason. That's what I am.
Oh.
Okay.
Raymond Burr.
Sir? Never mind.
Yeah. But they had one of my favorite candies from when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah?
Which is a candy that not a lot of kids like.
Necco wafers?
Whorehound.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. No, I'm super into the weird-ass old-fashioned candy.
Yeah. No, they had the Whorehound, and I had me some Whorehound, and I was happy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like Whorehound because I grew up doing reenactment stuff, and I was offered candy.
Yeah,
I suppose. And that was not candy.
Yeah.
As a kid, I was ill prepared for that flavor.
Huh.
Again, it's not a flavor that most kids enjoy. Yeah.
My dad was born in the 40s, so I like Necco wafers, Circus peanuts. Yeah. fucking whorehound candies.
Yeah, same thing. My dad was born in 40.
Liver and onions. Yeah. Farm kids. Weird dads.
But yeah, they have the arcade there, and it was just, it was a really fun time. Again, I saw a lot of people that I knew, and, you know, the King was out there.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah.
Porter, Pizport was there.
Nice. Aww.
So, that was a good time.
What a cool guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would like to go out there and check out the arcade games, because the,
a lot of pinball, yeah.
The place that I... Well, so I've checked out the pinball over at Can-Can, and Can-Can is fucking majestic when it comes to pinball.
Yes.
Also, Up-Down has some of my favorite pinball.
Right.
With the Castle one, the Castle Siege is...
Yeah, I think that's actually pretty
good. So far, one of my most favorite machines I've ever played on.
Adam's Family is still
Adam's
tops.
Adam's Family is
that's
the classic.
That's Raider Lee's favorite, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that's the go-to. And they have that at Up-Down and also at Can-Can.
Yeah, but every time I go to Can-Can, it's not working. And I go and I yell at the manager because I know him. I'm like, you fucking dick.
But
make my machine work, asshole.
No, I love going to these things and seeing these things. My favorite Chicago-style eatery, they took out the arcade game and the pinball machine that they had. And I'm so sad because I loved playing Donkey Kong there.
Yeah.
By the way, that's why I racked up the high score on Robotron.
I see. That is what I did. I had a lot of... really amazing and interesting sodas.
Yeah.
Good.
And then I had a lot of amazing pie. Mm. And you guys went and saw some shows.
Yeah.
No, over the weekend, that's not what I did. Over the weekend, I was doing data entry in a trailer.
Yeah.
Well, but like, and getting to see people and hanging out.
And doing something really good.
Yeah. And, being helpful. I'm helpful. Hey.
So, should we take another break, or should we segue straight into...
Grand time, yeah.
Right. Okay, yeah, just go right into it.
Who has some shout-outs, then?
Oh, my God.
And I do.
Go ahead.
Go.
Thank you to Fringe Volunteers.
Oh, my God, yes.
Turns out I know a surprising number of them. And they're really sweet
people. They're wonderful people. And my God.
Really, I got to see people from Chess and... like other places that I haven't seen in a month.
Yeah.
It was good. It was just really pleasant. So thank you to Fringe Volunteers. You make the whole thing run. All of this good stuff that we've been talking about wouldn't work without you there.
Aww.
Yeah.
I'm actually going to do a shout out to a specific individual, but not by name.
Okay.
He is the bartender at the Corner Bar.
Okay.
Where I happen to go there a lot during Fringe. Number one, because I park in the Corner Bar parking lot and you get a little validation thing for $3 off a drink. So I fucking do that. But also, Corner Bar is a place that Bill and I used to hang out at a lot. One of my favorite Bill stories, actually, occurred at Corner Bar.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to segue. So this particular story, we had been dating for like a couple months.
Uh-huh.
And I went to go see a show of his at the Corner Bar Underground, where they do a lot of stand-up. Yeah, it's like a stage in the basement that Bill and I actually helped clear out that basement and get them set up.
It was a really bad show. And
no, I mean, like, the actual setup of that.
I know.
Jesus Christ. Don't disparage the stage like that. But yeah, so, like, it's got some fun memories of us trying to remove a radiator from a ceiling. And so he went down there to go do a show. And I'm sitting at the bar, like, and I'm way early because I actually went there to surprise him. It's adorable. So I'm sitting at the bar up top, waiting for the show to start. And, I'm sitting at this bar and a guy comes up and starts chatting me up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Like, dude, There was nothing about my body that said, come over and talk to me, but all right, let's, you know. So I'm mildly entertaining him, right? I'm like, yeah, whatever, I've got time to kill. He's not horribly threatening, just mostly dude annoying. Mm-hmm. And I'm chatting with him, and he's trying to be super impressive and all this other stuff. And, you know, he's like, so... I was like, no, I'm here to see a guy do a show downstairs. He's like, oh, like a band? And I'm like, no, he does stand up. He tells jokes. And this guy's like, oh, well, I'm not really very funny. Like, I don't, you know, no, whatever. And I'm like, dude, how do you think that that's going to impress me at all? Whatever.
Also, have you seen the way that you dress? I disagree.
No, he was sharply dressed, actually.
Was born.
So let me finish my goddamn story. Because I will lose track. Anyway, it's like, I don't really do jokes. Like, I'm not very funny. I'm like, oh, that's a shame, because, you know, comedy's great for this, that, and the other thing. And he's like, well, you should just ditch this guy and hang out with me. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that. And he was like, after a little bit of, like, kind of slight pushing, but not quite, and then getting slightly more pushy, he's like, so what does this guy have that I don't? And I'm like, well, he can tell a joke. Like, just
shit.
Boom. Yeah. And so, like, I'm talking to this guy a little bit more, and Bill just shows up and puts his arm around me, and, like, kind of, he does the thing where he gets kind of in between me and this guy that's talking at me, but not quite, like, and he was Bill, so he was just super friendly. He's like, hey, sweetie, how's it going? Gives me a hug. He's like, hey, buddy, and, like, shakes his hand and is like, how are you doing? And, like, just whatever. But, yeah, couldn't tell a joke. I'm like... Come on, you gotta know a joke. Like, I spent a good time just trying to get him to tell any kind of joke whatsoever. Because at that point, it was amusing me. It wasn't funny, but it was amusing me. Yeah, so anyway. So, number one, you know, I go there because of the parking validation and the $3 off a drink. But also, this bartender remembers me from when Bill and I hung out there all the time. So, like, I show up and he's always like, vodka cran? I'm like, yep. Like, he checks, but he's already halfway to the cranberry juice. Like, you know what I mean?
Those are,
like,
my favorite bartenders. Yeah. The cranberry juice is my...
So, it's also, it's kind of a nice, quieter area.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
It's the corner bar.
Yes. Nobody puts Jenna in a corner bar. Except for me.
Except for Jenna.
Don't
radiator.
Radiator.
I barely even know her.
Yeah. So anyway, I want to just give a shout out to that guy. Yeah. I will not name him because I don't know if he wants to be named.
No,
but,
fair enough. Yeah.
But it's always just nice to see a friendly face, and very specifically during Fringe, like, if I need, like, just a mild escape, but still, like, stability, like, it's perfect. Because he's just like, hey, how's it going? Have a drink.
That's fucking fantastic.
I also know a couple of the servers there, and, like, they'll chat with me and things like that. But yeah. So, yeah, the bartender and corner bar in general, really. Yeah. I like those people.
Yeah, it's a good place.
They're pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, what about you, Salsa?
I'm also going to name a specific person.
Mm. Oh, yeah?
But I'm going to name him. It's Porter.
Oh, yeah. God, yes.
Like I said, I was at the soda thing, and they had the things with the tickets. And there was a line.
Oh, sure.
And so I was... You know, chatting with Porter and the King, and just shooting the shit a little bit. And I was like, I had just shown up. So I was like, so how does this work? And they were like, well, you know, that's, you get the ticket, blah, blah. They explained it to me, and I looked at the line, and I was like, okay, well, I guess I'm going to go stand in line now.
Right.
And my kids are jumping in puddles at this point.
Right.
It was pretty great. The King convinced him to do it.
You always do what the King says.
Yeah. But I'm like, well, I'm going to go stand in line now. And Porter pulls the wad of his tickets out of his pocket and hands them to me.
Aww.
Yeah.
God, he's like, here you go. He's such a sweetheart.
Yeah, he is.
Go have fun. And so when we were done, I had a few tickets left over. And so I walked up to, like, the person in the back of the line and just handed those tickets to them. You know?
Nice. Oh, yeah.
It's like, here you go. I'm not using these.
Mm-hmm.
Have fun. But yeah, it was a really sweet gesture, which was made all the more touching because I was alone with the kids and standing right. in line.
Yeah.
You know, if one of us could stand in line and the other go play with the kids, it would have been fine. But
yeah,
then I had to have them stand with me.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So, yep. No, I knew exactly where that yeah. was going. Yep. I'm like, so, oh, God, I see the problem already.
Mm-hmm.
So
no matter how good your kids are, no matter how amazing they are, it's fucking standing it's in standing a line.
I was line. Yeah. absolutely blessed with Jessa. She's mm-hmm. always very even-tempered. And
she stands in line. Yeah. She's like, it's okay, Mom. I've got this. You go play.
Kind of, yeah. So. But even so, like, when she was little, man, that was just tricky. So, yeah. It's
tricky?
I get it. Tricky. Oh, no, my orangutan. Come back.
Hey, everybody.
What I said.
Hey.
Hey, Dr. Nick.
Hey, Salsa.
How about a Fast Five?
Fast Five!
For those that do not know how this works, is you, that's right, you, the dear listener, sends us two messages. The first one contains five choices. We do not know what these choices mean. We are only given the options. It is only after we go through all five and make our choices that we open up the second email to find out what it all means. Today's comes to us from... Stefan!
Yay, Stefan!
Question number one.
Oh, oh, shit.
Son of a bitch. I don't want to know.
Question number one.
Uh-oh.
Sophie's choice.
Fuck.
It's... Or, por qué no los dos?
Oh. Por qué no los dos.
I think
no
I'm going dos. With por qué no los dos.
Mm.
Because I want that to also be the answer to the choice. Why can't it be?
Yeah, you what? Can't. It's a real Sophie's choice.
Ah, oh, son of a bitch.
Shit. So what's your...
A por qué no los dos.
Yeah,
no,
I think...
You have to choose one.
God damn it. All right, I'll take the latter one, please. Cake for me too, please.
Question number two.
Sorry, we're all out of cake.
Yeah. Question number two. Blue or black?
Blue. I'm drinking blue right now, so blue.
Blue Sun Soda Shop as opposed to Black Hole Sun.
Man, that's a fucking reach, and I wouldn't
yes,
be
su- well.
And I wouldn't be surprised.
Holy!
I'm gonna go black.
Yeah,
because she's never going back.
I'm never going back.
Yeah.
Question number three: bathroom or lunch break? I get more reading done on my lunch break, but not by much.
I just play games on my phone all the time. It really doesn't matter where I'm at, so...
We are long-lived and celebrated poopers.
I'm gonna say... Lunch break.
Hmm.
Okay.
I'm gonna say bathroom. I've never Snapchatted my lunch experience.
But you have Snapchatted the after.
Yes. There's an elaborate tale. Yeah,
oh,
thereby
I know.
Hangs an elaborate
yeah.
tale. Yeah.
You've told heard, me. Yes.
Okay.
Jesus Christ. Anyway.
Question number four. Coat or pants?
Oh.
I have never put a second pair of pants on the wall.
You should try it.
Put a second coat of paint on the wall? Is this the joke being made?
Oh, God damn it, James.
No.
The paint doesn't pant, but it does sweat. I'm going to say pants. I have worn two pair of pants before at the same time, but have I worn two coats?
I have.
I've worn like a coat and a hoodie.
Fucking cold night at Fest. I've bled the shit out of myself.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go. No, I'm just gonna go.
Sorry.
Apparently that's happening.
Went in the cupboard.
I got distracted by the fart cupboard. That is now propped open and not doing its job appropriately. Oh, God, James. Fucking, this is why we can't have nice fart cupboards.
All right.
Coat.
Coat.
For no good reason.
I'm going to say coat because I would lend someone either, but I have lent my coat more often.
Oh. P.S. Brenna's totally in my pants. she borrowed a pair of my pants for one of the shows.
Right, the palazzo pants you were talking about last week. Yeah.
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 But, yeah. So, she's been in my pants repeatedly.
Question number five.
Yeah.
High Five Guys.
Oh.
Fuck those guys.
Or Scotch.
Oh. Scotch, because Scotch.
Well, if it's a question of which I would rather have in my mouth. It shouldn't be a difficult decision.
You're right. It's not. High Five Guys.
No, okay, so the two podcasts that I love and hate to the same degrees equally, but for different reasons. If I was going on a long car trip, I would listen to the High Five Guys because if I was listening to the Scotch podcast, I'd just want to be drinking Scotch.
Oh, yeah.
True.
So I'm going to go High Five Guys.
I like the way you think. High Five.
I agree.
All right.
Context is totally not that. Wait, no. We're going to be fucked, but...
So, second email.
We find out who is right and who is dead.
Sophie's Choice.
Thank you.
Or Por qué no los dos.
All right.
Which type of Fast Five questions do you find more interesting to ponder before learning the context? Oh.
Shit.
I think this one is technically both Sophie's Choice and Por qué no los dos.
Right. Like, all of the above.
Well done. Shit.
Which would that by default make it a Por qué no los dos? Because why can't it be both?
Well, because to me, the Sophie's Choice is a choice between
two negatives.
Well, you're choosing... Mm,
not necessarily negatives.
One thing out of two things that you want, or choosing a bad thing out of two bad things. But Por qué no los dos is something where you should have both together. If that makes sense.
No, for me, Por qué no los dos is why can't I choose both things? So it doesn't necessarily have to be both of them together. It's not a chocolate peanut butter thing, James.
Oh.
It's a I want chocolate and I want steak, and they don't have to be together. I just want them both.
Mole.
See, the way I'm taking this is Por qué no los dos is I want both of them.
Yeah.
And I have to choose one.
Yeah.
Sophie's Choice is I don't want either of them, but I have to choose one.
No, see, because Sophie's Choice, there are times where I do want both of them, so...
Right, and it's named for the movie Sophie's Choice, where she's choosing between her two children, right?
Right, yeah.
And I mean...
She's choosing which one will die.
Difficulties of parenting aside... Yeah.
Well, yeah, but she's in that she's always also choosing which one to live.
Right.
So...
I'm going to split the difference and say The Crying Game. All right.
Which one's... And the question is, which one is more fun to ponder?
More interesting to ponder.
More interesting to
before
ponder.
Before learning the context.
I'm going to say probably Sophie's Choice is more interesting to ponder.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because there you only get to have one.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than getting to have both, if that makes sense.
We don't get to have both in either case.
No, but it's you're still being limited to one choice.
I see what you're saying.
So, like, if it's a Sophie's Choice, which all of these are theoretically possible to be Sophie's Choices, and none of them can actually be a Por qué no los dos, because we're not allowed to choose both. But... the Sophie's Choice, I think, because you are limiting your brain to one or the other as opposed to, but why can't we have both?
Mm-hmm.
I would say that is more interesting to ponder which child's going to die. Where am I going with this?
I see,
Yes.
Based on my definitions.
Sure.
Of what I think the difference
is. Which are wrong,
is.
But go ahead.
It's entirely possible. See, but I look at Por qué no los dos is like taco or burrito.
Right.
But yeah. I look at Sophie's Choice as like Matt or Tim.
Yeah.
Like, I know.
Yeah.
And both could be equally good or equally bad, right. Depending on the context.
But
which I think, which is why I think Sophie's Choice is more interesting, because there I don't want both of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No matter what the context is, I don't want both of them. But yeah. Like, to me, there is a more definitive one or the other with Sophie's Choice as opposed to Por qué no los dos is like, nope, all things are good here, I want everything, like, you know what I mean,
but like hard shell or soft shell, we've discovered that the actual answer is both,
double decker,
right. Where Sophie's Choice would be
okay
one thing or
which
the
I
other.
Still mildly I, disagree with that definition, but we already talked about that and we could just loop that forever. So
two good things or two bad things.
Yes. I'm going with Sophie's Choice.
Yeah.
Because like you said, it's if you're gonna be happy with either of them,
yeah.
Fucking pick one.
Yeah.
But if you're not gonna be happy, you really need to figure out which one is going to make you less not happy.
If you choose one and you will be unhappy as a result of choosing either, but you will also be happy with choosing either. Okay, I get what you mean.
I think I got lost on that, but sure, whatever.
Let's just go.
I think having to contemplate the badness along with the goodness is definitely more interesting. Mm-hmm. I'll go Sophie's Choice. Cool.
Question number two, blue or black?
Okay.
What is your preferred pen ink color?
Oh,
black for me.
I don't really have a preferred overall.
Are you sure, honey?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Red.
Oh, fuck. The look in your eye. All right.
My wife's a teacher. I'm sure it's her favorite.
Depends on the day.
Also.
God, I guess, I don't particularly care one way or the other. I think I have a penchant for black just because it's there all the time.
Penchant.
Oh, Jesus.
It goes with everything.
Fuck, James. Get out. Just
you
leave.
You said it.
It goes with
you
everything.
You fought it.
I'm.
Don't write him off already.
Oh, God. All right. So I'm going to say blue. I've been buying like specialty inks and things like that to try with calligraphy and handwriting.
Yeah.
And I've been enjoying some of the weirder ones, like emerald green is amazing.
Yeah.
I bought an ink called Earl Grey, and it's like a slate color, and it's really pleasant.
Sounds pretty.
But
sounds hot.
I'd
do it.
I'm going to go with things that make things look more visually interesting, blue.
Okay. I would dip my pen in that ink.
The company ink.
Yeah, that's how you refill the vacuum well.
Oh, okay.
Question number three. Bathroom or lunch break?
Yeah.
When do you check social media during your regular work shift?
Always.
During my regular work shift.
Yeah, like, I don't understand the question.
I literally work on the internet all day. Look, that's
some of us work for a living. Not me, but someone, I'm sure.
Yeah, I don't... I'm in meetings, like, scrolling through social media, because, honestly, it helps keep me from, like, getting too focused on what's going on in the meeting and snapping somebody in half. Like, yeah. I mean, my meetings are online, so nobody can tell that I'm, like...
Yeah.
But, yeah. Yeah, no, always. I don't... That's... Yeah.
Well, we gotta pick one, so I'm gonna go...
Lunch.
Bathroom.
I'm gonna say bathroom.
Mm.
Yeah.
I have more bathroom breaks than I do lunch breaks.
I have as many breaks as I want.
Also that.
Yeah. I don't get scheduled for that shit. I
my
just
regular work
schedule
shift
myself.
Is a break? No.
No. That's not accurate.
No, it's really not.
No.
No,
because you guys do actually work.
Boy, do we work.
Oh, what's that like? Mm. I forgot. I actually had a pretty busy day today, so I can't really, but...
Yeah, I had a great day at work today.
Mm.
Question number four, coat or pants? Which way do you smuggle candy and or soda into a movie theater?
I don't.
I don't either.
That's candy and beverages are the only way that the theaters make
also
money.
Also purse, but...
Oh.
Y'all can take the high road all you want. I'm not paying those prices for a fucking soda. No way.
I honestly just don't go to the movies very often.
That's fair.
Also, it is really hard to smuggle bacon popcorn into a movie theater.
Challenge accepted. Huh.
Do it.
I think she meant it's difficult to pop the bacon popcorn in the theater.
Speaking of which, I forgot to mention this.
What the fuck? Okay.
At the pie event.
Yeah.
We were going to be later that evening going to a party, a barbecue at a friend's house, and we found unicorn, which was kettle corn in fruit flavors. In rainbow colors.
Go on.
So there was grape. I'm
disturbed.
And blue raspberry. Mm-hmm. And like strawberry.
Is this what happens when you microwave Skittles?
It was pretty great. So we bought a bag of that and brought it to the barbecue.
Oh, all right.
Heck yeah.
And the kids had unicorn. And they were happy.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, makes sense. Star checks
out. I believe all of this, yeah.
Yeah.
Question number five.
Yeah.
Ooh. High five, guys, or scotch?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Oh, shit. What happened?
You son of a bitch. Which True Stone coupon code do you use instead of apropos?
You motherfucker.
Let me read that again. Which True Stone coupon code do you really use?
Shit.
Instead of apropos.
Motherfucker.
And we have set this up in such a way that we have to answer something.
Yeah, that sucks.
I'm going to say scotch because the idea of using scotch as a coupon code for coffee pleases me more.
Yeah. Sold.
Yeah.
Done.
Sold.
There we go.
I choose scotch because I can spell it.
Yeah, right?
That's going to be it from now on. It's going to be, use the promo code APROPOS, but it's spelled scotch.
That is literally what that motherfucker said when it was his turn to guest.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Salsa's dead.
Yep.
Stefan, you killed him.
Fuck.
Yep.
Are we done? Are we done?
I think we are.
Are we plugging shit now? Plug your shit.
Oh, God. You go, James.
All right.
Be quick about it.
Yeah. I've got Fest coming up, but also the remaining three performances of Deep in the 100 Acre Woods, A Poo Done It, which are Thursday night, Saturday, and then Sunday. And I would recommend reserving your tickets because we have sold out or nearly sold out our existing, already performed two performances. So there is a solid chance it may happen again. People were left waiting. So yeah.
I'll be there Thursday.
Yes.
I'm super excited.
I actually know a lot of people who have said that they will be there Thursday.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
You should also catch next the musical Aside Kick Story. Oh, were you going to?
Well, yeah.
Oh, go ahead then.
Because I have two more performances of Fringe Orphans.
That's why I was going to do next.
Oh.
So you could do the Fringe Orphans.
Wait, are you going next or are you doing next?
Are you should go see next, the musical, which is the show that Fearless sponsored. That is going to be Friday the 10th at 7 p.m., the 12th at 1 p.m., mm-hmm. and that's it.
Yeah.
The other one is tonight, so you're not going to see that one.
No. I heard they sold out again.
Yeah,
they did.
Get those tickets.
Yeah.
Jenna.
I have two shows of the Fringe Orphans remaining. Friday the 10th at 8:30 p.m., so you could go to next, and then they're both West Bank, so you can hoof it on over to Theater in the Round afterwards. And then Saturday at 10 p.m., so those are your last two opportunities to see how Brynn and I managed to do something different this time is basically what...
Juggling garlic is my new herding cats.
Yes, yes. I love it.
Pretty great.
Also, make sure to go catch some of those other shows that we talked about. Kessin's How to Survive a Dinosaur Attack.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Remy Reagan. We didn't even talk about that one. That was delightful.
I'm going to it on Saturday, and I'm so fucking excited.
Yeah.
Also, it's Fruit Flies Like a Banana is not a fearless show, but it's so good.
Oh, it's so good, you guys. Go see it.
However, Complete Works of William Shatner.
Yeah, I saw that.
Is a Fringe or a Fearless adjacent one.
Yeah.
And all of those, by the way, whether it be Pooh or Next or Fringe Orphans or family-friendly Pulp Fiction or Complete Works of William Shatner or Remy Reagan or What to Do in Case of a Dinosaur Attack, any single one of those shows, take a picture of yourself holding the program, post it on Facebook or Twitter with the hashtag Fearless Fringe, and you can win tickets to our fall show.
Yeah.
Which, what I've heard so far is that it's going to be fucking spectacular.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited for it.
If I could enter and win, I sure as fuck would.
Right?
Yep. So you should do that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Also, I will be at the Minnesota Renaissance Festival again.
Yay!
I just signed the contract literally hours ago. I am locked in. It looks like I will be doing Grove Stage at, I think it was 10:30 and 1:30. And then I will be doing a third show on Treetop Stage at a time yet to be determined. At least for the first couple weekends, and then something else, a limited run show is coming in and taking that time spot, so I'll be moved somewhere else probably. Everything's in flux. Just show up and get a program is really what we're saying. But I will be doing my show on Grove Stage and maybe other places, and then I will also be in special events and stuff.
Yay!
So,
On a note regarding Fearless shows not involved with Fest or Fringe, we have Fearless Lab coming up, and this is also like lined up to be a fucking spectacular show.
Yes.
And then we also have Double Blind Improv, and
but that's a while though. The 16th, I guess. Yeah, that's 10 days away.
Not too far away.
Yeah.
I'm just giving plenty of warning. That one is also going to be fucking spectacular, I'm hoping. So, I will say more about things when stuff is closer.
Cool.
Yep.
Yeah.
That second section has gone a full hour already.
Hell yeah.
Literally. So we should wrap this up.
Yeah, let's do that.
Last thing I want to say that I forgot to say is I am out of Fast Fives.
Oh.
Done.
Shit.
Done.
Send those in.
Yes, please.
Because I'm literal. Stefan's was the last one I have in my possession. So
it's
up to you.
Yours is next.
So get those to Salsa at A1 Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the end of our podcast. Anything? Just double checking.
Let's just go.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening. Eat the fucking cake.
I love you. Bye.
Take it away, Salsa.
Cha.
Cha, 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 cha.
Verbal Jazz Fingers.
Verbal Jazz Fingers is the name of my new Led Zeppelin cover band.